My apologies. When I was reading Proverbs to you, I said, he who guides his way guides his life. It's he who guards his way guards his life. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, may the meditations of our hearts, may our desires be in accord with yours. Lord, would you come today and meet us where we are, molding us into who you want us to be, that through it all you would receive praise, glory, and honor. God, we ask that you would be more, that we could be less. And we ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. There was a young pastor sitting in a restaurant eating lunch one day, and he opened a letter from his mother that he had just gotten that morning. As he opened it, a $20 bill fell out, and he thought to himself, "Thanks, Mom, I can really use this right now." As he finished up his meal, he noticed a beggar who was outside, sitting on the sidewalk, leaning against a light post. And he thought, you know, this fella probably could use this $20 more than what I could. So he crossed out the names on the envelope, and he crossed out his name on the envelope, and he put the $20 and he wrote across the envelope in very large letters, "Persevere." And as to not make a scene, he put the envelope underneath his arm. He walked outside, and as he walked by the homeless man, he just lifted his arm up and the envelope fell down and he walked on. The man picked it up, he read the message, and he smiled. The next day, the pastor was eating lunch, and that same man came over and tapped him on the shoulder and handed him a big wad of bills. Surprised, the young pastor asked him, "Sir, what is this for?" The man replied, "This is your half of the winnings. Persevere came in first in the fourth race yesterday, and he paid out at 30-1 odds." We're in the middle of Mark as we go through this. And our story detailing Jesus' life from the gospel this morning, we'll continue, we'll pick up from where we ended last week, starting at chapter 9, verses 14, and I'll go through 9 and 10 quickly until we get to 14. So we pick up with the disciples, and the disciples have come to Jesus, and they said to Jesus, "Jesus, there's this demon-possessed boy, and we're unable to heal him." And almost in sheer desperation, the father of this young boy goes over and says to Jesus, "If you can, would you help us?" And Jesus responds with a question, "If I can." "Everything is possible," he says, "for one who believes." And then almost in desperation, you can, if you picture the father, you can hear him interrupting Jesus and going, "Jesus, Jesus, I believe, but make up for my unbelief. Help me overcome my unbelief." One of the most famous quotes of all the Bible from a non-writer, a man who says, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." I think of almost any Christian, be it from the highest studied pastor to the newest believer, if they were to be honest and they were to say, "You know what? This is a true statement of my life. I do believe, but occasionally I might have doubts. I might struggle with my belief." And I believe that, you know, if we as the American church would practice that kind of humility instead of, you know, sometimes we have this pretense that we kind of act like we have it all together. That, boy, we have all the answers, but yet inside we kind of go, "Oh, man, you know, God, I'm not sure today. I really kind of have doubts today. I really saw this horrific act on TV, and I kind of doubt today but you know, God, I'm asking you to make up for my unbelief. I really believe that the church would be so blessed if we live lives where we were honest enough to say, man, I'm struggling today. So chapter 9 then goes on and it continues. Jesus does heal the young boy. And then he takes his disciples. They continue down the road and he takes the disciples privately and he's teaching them and he tells them, I'm going to be killed. But 3 days later, I'm going to rise back from the dead. I'm coming back to life. Which, of course, confuses the heck out of the disciples, and they don't dare ask him. So later, these disciples are walking down the road, and they're arguing. And they argue, who's going to be the greatest? I think I'm better than you. To which Jesus then sits down, and he calls the 12, and he says to them, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last. And thereafter, Jesus picks up a kid. He scoops up a little kid in his arms. And he says to them, whoever in me that you're welcoming, you welcome God. Are we a church that welcomes little ones? Are you a person who welcomes little ones? He just comes in being last, and that you need to be welcoming of children. And if, okay, I hope you are. Jesus then tells his disciples that it is okay. It doesn't just need to be anybody who stands up here on the stage. You guys can do it too. He tells us that, you know, anyone can share the good. He tells them also to get rid of the sin in their life with each other. All right? If the church doesn't have peace, we have a problem. If we have the kids that are around him. So many of these passages are sermons in themselves, and I know this is one of those passages that just makes me quiver. Life, what do I need to have? And Jesus says, keep the commandments. To be honest, I struggle with this. Every time I read this, I cringe because I don't want to go sell everything that I have. I do want to give some to the poor. I do want to give my tithe Sunday morning. I do want to help others out. I'll be honest. Work towards it. Jesus then talks about how hard it is to heaven. But then he does. But with God, all things are possible. Again, tortured how he's going to be killed. Again, the disciples aren't quite getting news. So we've been through this. Next, we get kind of the head scratcher. And they say, Jesus, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Which when I read, I go paragraphs ago about being last. So Jesus, you know, obliges them. And he says, so what is it? That decision, we're going to let that be up to God. First, you need to be a servant. Then wrapping up chapter 10, Jesus heals a blind man named Bartimaeus, which special note, anybody else's name, but we do know Bartimaeus, assuming that he is going to go on and do some pretty amazing things. In some ways, hear the word and then not do it. The disciples are told one time, go do this, and then they do the opposite. Be humble and they're not. Be a servant. No, we want to be great. And these are the people who are walking with the Master. They're walking with Jesus. They're seeing him heal people. So maybe I'm struggling with them. Maybe you're struggling with it to do. And maybe that's why we're gathered today, to help each other along the journey. Everyone would probably be doing it. Which brings us up to today's scripture. And I got two instructions for you this morning. Hopefully you can remember this. So you are going to hear Hosanna a couple different times today. And so when you hear Hosanna the first time, I want you to say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. In the name of the Lord. Very good. And the second time you're going to hear Hosanna, you'll follow it with Hosanna. Okay, very good. If you want to keep your Bible open, it's Mark 11, verse 10. So let's get into God's word here. It says, as they approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village that is ahead of you, and just as you were to enter it, there you'll find a colt. It'll be tied up. No one has ever ridden it. Untie it and bring it to me. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Say that the Lord needs it, but that he will return it shortly. They went, they found the colt outside in the street, tied at the doorway. As they were untying it, some of the people standing there asked, what are you doing untying that colt? They answered as Jesus had told them to, and then the people let him go. When they brought the colt to Jesus, they threw their cloaks over it, and they sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the ground, while others spread branches that they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and then those who followed shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom. Hosanna! In the highest heavens. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went to Bethany with the 12. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today we're looking at the scripture that we would be reading on Palm Sunday, the day where Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a colt, for the King, the Savior, has come to set his people free. There's going to be an uproar. It'll be different. True, everything will be different, but it won't be what the people thought it was going to be. It'll be different from what they hoped it was going to be, and it's going to be better than what they could have imagined.